Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 42 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two very best friends, Garrett Drake.
Good evening.
And Jacob Alka.
Hello.
How are we doing?
I'm doing exquisite. Absolutely exquisite. Jacob, how are
you
doing?
I'm well.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been
a
long
week.
You
need to up your vocabulary, man.
I like well.
Well?
Yeah, it's proper. Makes me feel nice.
Well is a little overdone these days.
Actually, yeah. I think good is, so I changed to well. Because I used to say good, so now my word is well.
I'm doing awesome.
Stupendous.
Superb.
Oh, yeah?
Maleficent.
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 As you can see, yeah. Preston and I have been in our spare time reading the Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah.
Instead
a
of reading.
A thesaurus for words for good. Yes.
Yeah. And to replace words like good. For example, like, how are you doing today? Serpendiculous.
Yes.
Are you lying to me right now?
No. Instead of like reading comics or playing video games, we've been heavily reading the dictionary. So our vocabulary has increased.
Why are you sweating?
Significantly.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what we've been up to.
I have nothing to say to that.
Gentlemen, we've been playing, well, not really. I was going to say we've been playing a ton of video games, but that's not the case with me and Garrett. Have you been playing a ton of video games?
I wouldn't say a ton. But
we've kind of been playing.
Over the last few.
My Vita, well, we were in Baltimore for a week. My Vita died, and I searched the airport high and low for a freaking outlet to charge my Vita. Mm-hmm. And there's not an outlet in the entire airport that was not occupied by somebody sitting there on their iPad playing like Candy Crush or something.
Yep.
So they had these booths where you could, you know, charging booths, and there were people just like laying on top of each other. So just to get a good charge in.
That's why Delta's on top of things. They got plenty.
I'm not a big fan of American Airlines.
I will say I was surprised because obviously Delta's always fantastic, but American Airlines were like, oh, this is gonna suck. But although they this is hilarious. So, obviously, when Delta comes through, they have all kinds of drink selections and snack selections and stuff. Well, American Airlines, granted, it was a very short flight. We had two flights on the way home. We flew from Baltimore to Charlotte and then from Charlotte to Atlanta. So, on the first flight, they're like, everyone, we have a complimentary water or orange juice this evening. Pick one or the other. And I was telling Preston, it reminded me of Vacation Bible School. It's like, we have water, orange juice, and graham crackers. And all the kids would be so bored, they'd dip their graham crackers in their orange juice and water and eat them. And I just like wanted to slap them in the face even as a child.
Sounds delicious.
I was like, you disgust me. But it was pretty funny. We all had some water on that flight.
Good choice.
Yeah.
I watched you
I do like
some
the
Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
I love orange juice, though. Like, if I'm in the mood for orange juice, it's good stuff.
I will, whenever there's no apple juice, I will have orange juice, and I will sip it about, two or three times, and I'm done. I can't drink any more orange juice than that.
Okay, how about
juice
this?
Juice doesn't do it for me.
All right, apple, orange, or grape? What's your choice?
Always
grape.
Apple.
Grape?
Yeah.
Like yeah, I'm grape, juice. Too. I love grape juice.
What's wrong with you, bub?
Grape juice is delicious.
Bear with me here for a second, because whenever I think of grape, the first thing that comes to my mind is the grape Motrin that I used to take as a child, and that's disgusting. But I will say grape juice, grape drink, baby. grape juice is actually pretty good. Like Welch's, for example.
Yeah.
That's some good grape juice.
What about grape soda?
I'd rather
it's
not.
It's okay.
I like grape soda.
I'd rather have orange soda.
Same, yeah.
Which is funny because I don't like orange juice, but I'll drink orange soda.
Especially that orange
Stewart's.
Orange
and cream.
Yeah
orange that's amazing. Okay, that's stuff. Different. I wouldn't classify that as orange.
Like classic
soda.
Orange.
It is soda.
I'm thinking like Crush
it is soda.
And.
Yeah, I don't like that. Crush
like
and Fanta.
Yeah, I don't drink that stuff.
I mean, I'll do it, but like.
I'll do it.
But I don't want to. That's not my first choice. If I had the choice between grape, orange, and or a Mountain Dew, I'll pick the Mountain Dew.
Right, same here.
Well, speaking of Mountain Dew, I got Baja Blast in my hand right now.
Excellent.
Cheers. And,
thank you, Jacob.
The show tonight is brought to you by Taco Bell.
Yes, as always, we had our pregame feast at Taco Bell, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. And they really don't like Preston there. Why don't you give us a little
first
recap?
First of all, I walk up to the counter, and I like to. I'm switching it up. I'm a big fan of the Mexican pizzas, so I tell the woman behind the counter, I would like a Mexican pizza. She goes, oh, we're out of the shells for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'll brush that one off.
Yeah.
I'll take a cheesy gordita crunch with a fiery shell on the inside.
Right.
And she goes, oh, I really like the Cool Ranch ones. And I want to be like, first of all, did I ask you for your opinion? Second of all, I like just smiled at her and was like, I'll forget you, you know, didn't put your opinion on.
You're like, okay.
Then third,
you're like the sleazy businessman.
Yeah. Then third, I ordered something else and she asked for my name. I said, Preston. And she went, oh, that's elegant. And I was like, you've already pissed me off, so don't try and
oh, royalty.
Don't try to compliment me and such.
Mm-hmm.
So I get my stuff, I go sit down. Lo and behold, I open up my cheesy gordita crunch. Not there's no fiery shell in there, but instead a nacho cheese shell.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she did this as some sort of joke.
This
because,
is your second strike.
Yeah, because I didn't like, you know, kind of say, oh yeah, Cool Ranch is good too. So whatever, I let that one slide. And then my final straw was I saw a man eating a Mexican pizza across the restaurant that he had just received it.
Yeah, uh-huh. He ordered after us.
Yeah.
So I
literally like right after
us.
So
it's funny because
needless to say, I was pretty pissed. So I took my water. I gave Garrett my water cup because I didn't want to feel like a thief, and he got me some soda.
Yeah, which that'll is funny. Teach him. I was so confused when we were leaving. You're like, hey, give me some Baja Blast. I was like, all right. So I went and filled up his cup. He's like, yeah, I just didn't want to feel bad for stealing it. He's like, oh, yeah, I stole all this money from a bank, but I'm going to give it to you, which means you didn't steal it.
Yeah.
It was my comparison. Yeah. But
I didn't know you did it.
It's funny, my Taco Bell experience this evening was the direct opposite, because me and that girl, I would consider us pretty close acquaintances. Because not only did she remember my exact order from like a month ago, but she remembered my last name and my family crest, because every time I go in there, she's like, name, I'm like, Drake. I'm like the duck, because the first time I went in there and said Drake, she was like, oh, like the dragon. It's like, it's funny you say that. Our family crest is a dragon, but a Drake is more commonly known as a duck. And I was like, that's typically what I tell people it means. And she's like, well, I think you should go with the dragon. I was like, it works for me. It's way cooler than duck. That was the extent of our conversation the first time. I go back in, she remembered I was the dragon guy. And, what did she say? She remembered my order, and we were, like, just talking and stuff. We're like, cool, good to see you. I'm like, you have an excellent memory. Awesome, later. And then you had the direct opposite experience. Like, we don't have Mexican pizza. She gives you the wrong taco shell.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yep.
But nonetheless, our meal was fantastic.
It was still excellent.
It was.
Yeah. Yep. Always enjoy Taco Bell. Always.
Always.
Unless it gave me food poisoning the one time.
Right.
Besides that, it's been excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still excellent as I ate it then.
Yeah.
But yeah, they,
sorry, I don't want to cut you off. Continue.
That's fine. You can go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, speaking of video games, this kind of is sad for me, but also exciting. I was playing Majora's Mask on the way to Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and I almost made it to is Woodland Temple.
Woodfall.
I always call it Woodland. Yeah. Woodfall Temple. I'm very close to entering that temple, the first temple. And I was like, wow, that's exciting. And obviously I had to stop playing because we arrived at our destination, but I forgot to charge it. The whole week, so it died, and I couldn't continue my save on the way home. But instead, I played some Shovel Knight, and I dug my way. See what I did there?
I see.
Through a chunk of the game, and I'm really enjoying it. And it's funny. Before you, when you and Paul were talking about it, he's like, "This reminds me of whatever he said it reminded him of."
He said it's a straight Ghouls and Ghosts ripoff.
Yeah. And you were like, no, you're like, no, I think it's more of a Mega Man inspired.
It's like got DuckTales, Mega Man.
Which as soon
Mario
as you said Mega
Overworld.
Man, it clicked in my brain. I was wondering why I like the game so much. And how like you unlock new abilities and you can use those abilities on the bosses. And there's always a big boss at the end. And it's like, it reminded me so much of Mega Man in a great way. I was like, man, no wonder I like this so much.
Yeah.
But I've been having a ton of fun playing it. I'm still working my way through it. I know you're doing
the
same,
airport,
right?
And I'm enjoying it as well.
Yeah. So it's fun.
It is fun.
Guys, I want to play handheld games.
Are you going to get your 3DS?
Eventually.
I'm going to, probably in like
a month.
What's
the first one you're going to get on it?
What game?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know.
No, okay, why are you getting one? Get
it's
a Vita.
Pokemon? Yeah.
Gosh.
That's the reason why. Because the new one's coming out this year, so.
See, I'm fine with
it. I want it for all the Super Nintendo games.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, then.
Like, and I really want to play Shovel Knight, too. I'll probably play a Zelda game first.
Because
I want to play them.
Okay. Sure, man.
What's the most recent Zelda game that came out on 3DS called again?
Well, Majora's Mask.
I mean, like, it's not Linked to the Past, is it? What's
a
it
Link
called?
Between Worlds.
That's what it is. I want
to
play that.
I know Twilight Princess is coming to the Wii U soon. Or it might have already come
out.
It's
been out last week.
It looks good.
I pre-ordered it, but I haven't picked it up yet. I need a Wii U first.
You need a new Wii U, 3DS, new, yeah. Retro, yeah. New.
Color.
The NX, they're gonna. The NX is the code name. They're going to come out with a big thing. They're like, this is the new Wii U.
Right.
So that won't confuse anybody.
I read you can never trust articles these days, but I read a headline of an article. I didn't dig any deeper than the headline, but the headline was like, rumors surfacing that NX is awful. I was like,
oh.
I was like, okay.
Thank you.
Just kept scrolling. But that's the only really NX. Actually, there's more NX details later that I read that mm-hmm. are quite interesting that you guys might find a little fascinating.
Okay.
But we'll get to that later, obviously. All right. But
so obviously The Division came out.
Yes.
It did.
Last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Hasn't even been out for a week yet by the time this goes up. But of course, we were gone. And typically, if this were a game as a, like Dark Souls or Uncharted, we probably would have brought our system with us to play. But this being an online-only game, I don't trust the hotel's internet.
Absolutely
for literally
not.
Anything. I wouldn't trust that thing with my life.
Right. If a hotel and, takes 3 days to upload a 20-minute yeah. YouTube video, then I doubt it'll run The Division.
Yeah. So we sure. waited till Friday to get back and play a little bit at level 13, and I'm enjoying it so far. It's what I want. I've said on the podcast recently, I just can't really get into any story games.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been skipping literally every cutscene. And I know there's how the virus got here and all that crap, but I just honestly don't care about anything else. I'm just
Me
running
neither.
Around shooting dudes and I see yeah. loot and I'm like, ooh, cool.
I feel the same way.
So that's pretty much it. And that's exactly what I want right now.
Right.
So until pretty much like Dark Souls comes out, which I can't really get into that story either because mm-hmm. it's just like
yeah.
randomness.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much until Uncharted goes out, the games that I'll be pretty much into are not very story heavy to me personally. Mm-hmm.
What about Ratchet and Clank?
I'm totally Maybe. Playing that, Jacob.
I don't know if I don't know if I'm feeling that right now. It definitely looks beautiful.
The game is so fun.
Yeah, I know. I just don't know if I'm feeling that.
Obviously,
right
you don't
now.
Know.
No, you're being a real jerk tonight.
What? Sorry.
I didn't mean
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
You must not have experienced the chemistry of Ratchet and Clank.
I played halfway through together. Ratchet and Clank on Vita, the PS2 first one.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see, having played that one fairly recently, mm-hmm. then going into this one and seeing yeah. the drastic difference.
Yeah, this one's kind of it's not a remake, it's like a reimagined.
Yeah, I think so. Just to coincide with the movie. But if you have somebody literally handed me a copy of that right now, I probably wouldn't play it soon at all. I'd probably just go back to The Division. Yeah. I'd probably just let you borrow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather play the Division right now anyway.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah. I'm kind of just going to play The Division until Dark Souls comes out. Is mm-hmm. that the next thing? And then just kind of play those two until Uncharted comes out. That's kind of just all I care about right now is Uncharted. Yeah, you're so funny, dude.
I just instead of saying I guess so, I said I guess soul.
I guess soul. Yeah, we're killing it with the puns tonight. Yeah. I dug my way through Shovel Knight. You guess soul.
I think you said you said something at the very beginning. I don't know if you intentionally said it.
What did I say?
Something about well.
Well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I did do that on
you
purpose.
Did do that on
when
purpose?
He was like
okay.
I've been using well. I was like, well. Well's overdone or something.
Yeah, well's overdone. But then I was thinking overdone as
like
a
steak.
Yeah.
I thought that too.
I don't know if that's a good pun. But that's immediately the first thing.
I don't think that's a pun.
I thought that in my head.
I think it is either, but I thought about steak the yeah, second you said
me
that.
Me too.
But
I like that you got that though.
Yeah. Yeah. The Division.
Yeah.
Garrett, what do you think?
It's cool. So far, I'm not having any more fun than I had in the beta. It's probably because I haven't gone to the Dark Zone.
Wow.
But I will say I'm only level 10 now.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was so confused for some reason because we were pretty busy all week when we got home and I played for like an hour Friday night.
Sorry.
Jacob was like level 17 at the time. I was like, level 17? Because for some reason I thought the game would come out on Friday. Mm-hmm. I was like, level 17?
What's he been doing?
What in the world? I was like, how did you do that? I mean, I didn't say anything, but internally it was like my world was shook. I was like, how is that even possible? Because it took me like an hour to get to level 3.
Yeah.
I was like, my goodness. But
yeah, I was running once you get going, the first hub area, and I was seeing people, and I was like, wow, we're just starting this journey together. And then I like look at my friends list, and there's like three level 30s.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
holy crap.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I totally forgot it had come out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got on Thursday, and there was already a guy level 30 on my friends list, and I was like, oh my god, I'm like level 8.
My goodness.
Wish I had that kind of time to play.
When I could do that, for sure.
You know what's so funny, now that I think about this? Remember when Fallout 4 came out, and we were working? We were like, the whole day, we were like, the whole day, like, freaking out, but then this came out, and even though we were pretty excited about it, it was so funny, the difference in contrast. We were like, the Division's out. We'd be both like tinkering on wires or something. Preston'd be like 30 feet away, be like, people are playing the Division right now. I was like, oh yeah. And we just like smile and then go back to what we were doing.
Yeah, you didn't sound excited at all for it all week.
It's because we played the beta so much that I like knew what to expect. Don't get me wrong, I'm still having fun, especially when the three of us are playing together.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when we get to those higher levels and go into the Dark Zone, we'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's when I've had the most fun playing, is with a group of people.
Mm-hmm. I think tomorrow will be the first day. Thankfully, I have Monday off, but it'll be the first day where I can just sit down and play for like a few hours straight without like being distracted by something else.
Right.
So tomorrow is going to be my day where I attempt to catch up to you guys relatively before I have to go work. So
cool.
Hopefully this weekend we can do some Dark Zone together. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I think I'll bring my PlayStation and test the waters for the Wi-Fi.
You might as well try it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
I don't want to be completely left behind.
Me neither.
Week,
so. You might be.
I know.
Jacob's an unstoppable killing
if people
machine.
Can get the level 30 in 2 days, if I get a day or two off and hunker down, I should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Just go to Starbucks, bring your little TV thing.
Yeah. I'm not bringing that thing. It's a hassle. I literally bought my portable TV for Fallout 4 just to play it in the car.
Man,
that's funny.
Well, I guess the difference also, like you were saying,
thing,
between
thing
the
seems so great. Like, if I were you, I'd take it on as like...
Yeah, I would take it everywhere.
Like, you know how you check your suitcase?
Yeah.
I would just take that as like, because for example, I took my backpack and that small suitcase is my extra carry-on. And like, all you have is your satchel and your case with the PlayStation. That sounds great
but
to
I
me.
But I can just carry my PlayStation in my satchel and carry everything at one time.
That's true.
Yeah. But. And you have to take out... You have to take out your laptop and your PlayStation through security.
That's the worst part.
So I'd have to like unbuckle that thing, unzip the PlayStation out of the carrying case it's in.
There was a handful of times when we first started working for SMS where we put our PlayStation in the bin and they'd pick it up like, what's this?
Yeah,
like, some kind of bomb. What is this contraption?
Now, they didn't used to say that when we first started flying. Now they'll say, you take your laptops, game consoles, like all this stuff out. So... And that's what sucks too about bringing the PlayStation. You gotta put the PlayStation in a separate bin. Then you gotta put your laptop in a separate bin. Then you gotta have a bin for your wallet and your phone and your belt and your bag and jack. You got like four things with
it's
you.
It's just chaos.
It's so annoying. Then you get up to the body scan thing and my pants are falling down because I don't have a belt. And he's like, pull your pants up, and I pull them out. They're like, no, but keep your hands up in the air. So it's just, I hate security.
Shit, son.
Dude, it's so funny thinking about it. I can't imagine what it looks like from a third person perspective when, like, you know, the average businessman going through security at like 5 a.m. in Atlanta has like his suitcase and like his jacket and his shoes and belt, and that's it. But then we come through, it's like Nintendo 3DS, Vita, PlayStation, laptop, iPhone, and then I have like my Sonic Bomb alarm clock that literally looks like it could be a bomb, so I always have to put that in there too. It's like we have like 8 bins each of like all these electronics going through. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's why I haven't really taken my PlayStation with me recently, because I just want to get through security as fast as possible.
Right.
And for some, I mean, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but like, for some reason getting there at like 5:30, there's still 80 trillion people wanting to get through, and it's just the most infuriating thing ever. There's just too many people on this planet.
So. We need a new plague, Dwight Schrute.
Well, you guys do go to the busiest airport in the world. So.
We do.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't be mad, but on the inside, I just want to beat everybody around me and tell them to go home.
Two random quick funny stories. One of our coworkers, one morning we had a super early flight, said he had walked right past Denzel Washington.
Really?
Yeah, in the airport, and walked right past him. And so that was cool. But another funny story, I think Paul was joking, but when we landed in Baltimore, we got off the plane, and I'm like disoriented. I'm so tired because we had done the podcast the night before. I slept like 3 hours and woken up, gone to the airport, flown, and we land. Walking off the plane, we're walking through the hall. And this like big group of like guys with like a ton of bags and like tattoos and stuff walk past us, and he's like, I think we just passed Linkin Park. And I was like like turned around, and I was looking for like Chester and Mike Shinoda, is that his name? Yeah, I was looking for all those guys because I recognized them. And I turned around and none of them look anything like Linkin Park. And I was like, what? And Paul was just like smiling and looking at me. And I was like, what? I was like, them? And he just like turned around and walked away. And like the whole, for like an hour, I was like, who are they? I think they were just nobodies. And he was kidding, but.
Yeah. What?
You didn't notice this?
No.
Yeah, he's like, I think that was Linkin Park. And I was like, what?
I highly doubt it because I think they're in Sweden this week.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I was like,
at least a couple
weird.
Of them were. So.
But,
I don't know why they'd
be
in
pretty
Baltimore.
Funny. Nice. I've never seen a celebrity at the airport before. I'm surprised we haven't. We actually landed one time about 30 minutes before the whole entire cast of Arrow and The Flash landed in Atlanta.
Really?
And we would have seen him at baggage claim, but it was like half an hour. We had been gone all week working like 17-hour days. It was like, screw it, let's just go home. But
do they film
cool.
all those shows in Atlanta?
No, they film them in Vancouver.
Vancouver?
Yeah, film both shows there.
Canada.
Interesting.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, Vancouver's a cool city, for sure.
Never been.
I'm fascinated that they can make the shows look so drastically different.
Yeah.
Which is cool, shooting in the same city. But yeah, Division, man.
Yeah.
It's keeping me busy sure.
Division.
Yeah.
That's what I need right now.
Right.
Garrett, what's on the list for this week?
We have plenty of things on the list. I compiled it today via multiple sources. I think off the top of my head, most of it's Nerd Much as usual. I always go to Nerd Much first. I just like the way everything's laid out.
Nerd Much.
But very thankful for Nerd Much and their efforts in collecting game news for us to discuss. But first thing that stood out to me is something from a franchise that's near and dear to my heart. I know it has a place in your heart as well, Preston. It's actually the game that set me on the path to Microsoft's Xbox console.
Wow.
And on to Xbox One. It's the Gears of War franchise.
Oh, wow.
And
I was going to say Cameo.
Cameo.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a launch title for 360.
Oh, okay. Oh, are you joking?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I've told the story before. First time I saw the Gears of War trailer, the original with Cliff Bleszinski doing the demo, I was like, that's the most mind-blowing thing I've ever seen in my life, and that's the reason I begged my parents to get me a 360 for Christmas.
Yes.
Praise the Lord they did. I'm very thankful to this day for that because
I
changed my
Wii,
gaming life.
Like a true dude.
I know. Too. I remember you and me used to argue about which one was better.
Yeah, I was playing Twilight Princess. Thought it was the coolest thing.
Yeah, it definitely is cool.
It was freaking awesome. Then I saw Gears of War, and I was like, dang.
Yeah. I'll never forget the first time we played Xbox Live together was on Gears of War.
You had your... This guy has got his TV hooked up to his Xbox, and he's got the TV formatted.
Incorrectly.
He's got two giant gray bars on the side of his big screen TV.
I have an explanation for that.
What?
Okay, so... Preston, explain it. Obviously, my TV was very wide, and whenever I applied the aspect ratio to be thinner, like more less horizontal and more vertical looking, the pixels and like the picture looked like a lot more crisp. And I didn't like when I went to the normal screen; it looked kind of stretched.
Well, I think also half your problem is you were using the composite cables; you weren't using an HDMI.
Right, yeah. I was totally clueless back in the day. You're talking to the guy that named his gamertag GD137 because my next door neighbor's was his name, and I thought I had to do my name otherwise it wouldn't work. And then I chose the family zone because he was the family zone.
Yeah.
What an idiot! But But yeah, I thought that the picture looked cleaner. But yeah, we played Gears of War for the first time together. We were like, dude, talking on the mics, and we were so excited. And the rest is history.
Those were the days.
But yeah, Gears of War 4 was announced. It was at E3 last year?
Yeah.
Or at least shown off a bit.
E3,
yeah. Yeah. Just recently, Game Informer, I think actually the digital issue is available now. I think the physical copy is coming soonish.
I haven't received it yet.
Okay, so. Soonish. They have a whole article detailing like character points, story points, blah, blah, blah. There's screenshots, but I'm going to dig into some of that now.
Okay.
Kind of explain to you guys, get your thoughts on it, because I've read into it thoroughly, and I got to say I'm quite excited. Gears 4, as I said, this is coming from... this is from TrustedReviews.com. We're not starting with Nerd Much, I apologize, but there's plenty of Nerd Much to be had.
That's a serious blunder right there.
Right. So I'm going to give you some of these details
Bless you guys.
Bless you to bits.
Wow.
Thank you.
J.D. Phoenix is the primary protagonist of Gears of War 4 and the son of series veteran Marcus Phoenix, which already to me is really cool sounding. J.D. is a COG militia gone AWOL following events we'll soon discover when the game drops later this year. Sounds exciting. Kate Diaz is a Covenant warrior alien from the Halo series featured in this game now.
It's a random fact in there.
Yeah, Kate Diaz is a confident young woman raised out of the walled cities that protect humanity, finding herself in a rebel group known as the Outsiders. which is also interesting.
Nice.
I already haven't really gone into this too deeply, but it almost get like a... And I know it was technically post-apocalyptic in Gears 1 when, like, the Locust came and, like, destroyed everything, but this seems almost even more far gone. Like, even though they won the war, it seems like humanity's still struggling
20 years? You ain't gonna rebuild humanity in 20 years,
totally.
That's for sure.
Known as the Outsiders. Finally, Delmont, Del Walker, is another ex-COG soldier. Having been childhood friends with JD, they both joined the army together, forming a bond akin to Marcus Fenix and Dominic Santiago in the original game. Developer The Coalition has confirmed that the game will take place 25 years following the events of Gears of War 3. We'll be able to explore a different vision of Sarah, that's the planet that the game's based on. The game's fictional planet, I just said that after I said it, LOL. Complete the mysterious... complete with mysterious new enemies and locations. Gears of War 4 will launch exclusively for the Xbox One later this year and is set to be a graphical showcase for Microsoft's console.
Wow.
Some of the other features that are included. Split-screen co-op, I know people are thrilled about.
Wow.
It sucks because even though I'm super glad that's included in the game nowadays, I like rarely ever play split-screen. Right. But I'd still rather it always be there just in case. Because you never know when there's going to be that random night when you're with friends. We're like, let's play Halo split-screen. Can't do that in Halo 5 and it's devastating. But the fact that they're including that for a game that's going to be their graphical showcase, like Halo's excuse was like, it ruined the experience of our gameplay and the graphics if it was split screen, so we didn't include it.
Is that what
it.
They said?
Yeah, that's literally what they said.
Okay.
So another literally. Cool fact, I thought story-wise, is that they're going to try to return the game to its original horror roots. Like, I remember the first Gears of War.
There's only two scary parts in the first Gears of War.
Right.
It's the first time you saw the Berserker.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty scary.
Right.
And I think
the part where
dark,
you go into the
rainy level.
Yeah, the factory with like they're not called grunts, are they? What are they called? That's from Halo.
The like little monkeys that run
at
you.
Yeah. I remember that part. But already it sounds really cool. The screenshots I saw looked like some really messed up locust. I don't know if they're like zombie locust or something.
Yeah.
But it's kind of confusing because I remember the original article I read. It's like the whole game takes place in one night in this scary forest. And I'm like...
Yeah.
Sometimes I like that kind of stuff, because like in movies, for example, most recently The Hateful Eight took place all in the same cabin, and it worked very well. Now, pulling that off in a game is a whole nother feat entirely. But from what I've read in this article, it says there would be multiple locations, so maybe it's one night, like you and I discussed, like, oh, I'm cool with one night if it's like the environment changes up a bit, because one environment can get old really fast.
A la Uncharted 1.
Yeah, great example. But overall, I think so far, just from the screenshots I've seen, the fact that you're playing as Marcus Fenix's son is cool, and he has his buddy like Dominic from the original, and 25 years later, team up with the girl from The Outsiders is cool. I'm just excited to hear more about it, and the screenshots I've seen look cool, so I'm definitely pumped for sure, because I love
Gears
of War. I hope
the multiplayer is in just a shotgun palooza.
Amen. I hope, it'd be a miracle if... for example, we say in The Division, if you don't take cover, you're done for.
Yeah.
That was always our dream in Gears. And the closest they came was Gears 3, because I remember more times than not, you and me were taking guys down with our Lancers, which is what we always wanted to do. Don't get me wrong, it's fun to blow someone in half with a shotgun. I'm all for that. But when it's everyone doing that constantly, it just gets old really fast.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping they do something to... make it to where you got to take cover, you're just done for, because it was always meant to be an action-packed cover-based third-person shooter, and it literally revolutionized third-person shooters forever. So I'm hoping I've always said a great solution would be just make all shotguns a power weapon on the map, like the sniper and the torque bone. So just make it a power weapon, then people have to fight for it, kind of like in Halo. The shotgun's a power weapon, that's why not everyone runs around with a shotgun the whole time. Now, granted, like, for example, in the Gears of War collection we bought, they have a shotgun playlist where it's 2-on-2 shotguns only in a tiny space, and that was fun.
That was funny.
It was really fun, It was kind of stressful, too. Yumi got surprisingly pissed.
Yeah.
But, like I said, that's always been my solution. Like, make the shotgun a power weapon, people will use a lot more variety of
weapons.
But then
again, I could argue saying that that's what Gears multiplayer is, and I'm going to be pissed if you take it out.
Yeah.
So.
But then again, just throw in another game type. Be like, how about this? Gears of War's new official multiplayer shotgun's a power weapon. Or you can play classic gear style where you spawn with the snub pistol
for sure.
And stuff. Like you can play both versions.
I would like that.
But there's a lot of, I have a lot of high hopes for it. Were you chomping on ice?
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. It's funny because I've made a mental habit not to chomp mine, because for our first several podcasts, I was like, I've been chomping on my ice, and I didn't even realize it. So I apologize for all those episodes in the past for our friends that have stuck with us for a while. If you heard me chomping ice, I know it's incredibly annoying.
I'll just lean back when I chomp.
Jacob, what do you think about the details of Gears 4? I wanted to hear your opinion on this. Do you have a history with Gears at all?
No, I played Judgment.
Okay, so that's, in my opinion, the worst one.
It wasn't that fun.
No, the campaign bored me to tears.
Yeah, it's never intrigued me, Gears. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
That's all right.
I'm having fun with The Division. It's a cover-based third-person shooter.
Right.
But, I'll probably pick
this
up and play it.
Literally the only similarity.
I know, but,
literally.
It sounds cool. I'm excited. I don't have any Gears experience to, enlighten upon my thoughts. But right.
I always enjoy Gears campaigns, specifically Gears 2.
Always will be the best.
Great, great campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And they're talking about how this is going to be like a masterpiece as far as graphics go on the Xbox. Mm-hmm. So
I remember Gears 2 blew our minds graphically when it first came out. I think I've said this in the podcast before or some other video where you and Jay were talking and you were like, I'll tell you right now. He's like, if every game looked like this forever, I'd be satisfied. Which even at the time I was like, dude, you're right, man.
I always think that. Like seeing Uncharted 3 for the first time, I was like,
this is it.
I was like, wow, what can you do? Then watching Uncharted 4, I'm like, how can you beat this? And probably 5 years from now, my head's going to blow up again.
Uncharted 4 looks great.
Uncharted 4 looks
gorgeous.
Nuts.
Absolutely gorgeous.
But besides the point, I'm sure Gears of War is known for its graphics. Mm-hmm. It's always pumping out some beautiful graphics. So I am definitely excited to play through the campaign. I'll probably dip my toe in some multiplayer, but that's not... Gears 3 was fun, but I don't know. We stopped playing it because I don't know. I'm not the biggest Gears multiplayer fan. I have fun with it, but I'm definitely way more into the campaign.
Gears or tears?
Yeah.
You like that?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the only
what
one
if they? What if they just had a terrible idea where they, instead of calling it, because I don't know if they renamed it.
Tears of War.
Originally, it was, remember when they first showed the very first demo, which is a very rough, no one really knew what was happening demo at E3 last year.
So dark.
Yeah, the title showed up and it was like Gears 4. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool, just shortening it. But then all the articles and all the details I've seen, Gears of War 4, Gears of War 4, none of them have said Gears 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just purely for marketing or if they're still going to call the game Gears 4. What if they had a terrible idea where they called it like Gears of Fear or Gears Fears or something stupid?
No, it's going to be Gears 4, I think.
Gears Your Fear.
But that's cool. It works for me. Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah. So,
for sure.
Definitely. But sticking in the Xbox realm for a bit, Microsoft realm, everyone's heard by now that Lionhead Studios is in rough shape, very close to being shut down. A lot of the employees have been laid off.
Yeah. I've heard that.
And I'm kind of recap all we've heard and some more details that have come up out of this that you may or may not find interesting. I found this interesting. Normally when I read...
I found it not very surprising.
No, not at all. Right. Definitely not. But as we know, Fable Legends was canceled. Were you
guys been in development forever.
I know. Were you guys even slightly excited for
not
Fable
even,
Legends?
Not even.
Me neither.
It looked so boring.
They'll just understand that people just want a Fable 4 actually make a good Fable game again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you and I had, I'll start with Fable 1. That game was the first real RPG experience I remember truly enjoying and understanding for once. Because I played RPG-ish stuff before that, but I was so confused, because I wasn't really into RPGs until I played through Fable 1, and that hooked me, just the art style and the quirkiness of it.
Quirky.
Sure.
Just the goofiness of it and how colorful it was, and just it was funny and it was intense and it was awesome, and I don't know, that game just hooked me, and then Fable 2 came out. Obviously, you and I had a blast playing that.
Yeah, Fable 2 was great.
Yeah, and Fable 3 is a letdown for me big time, which sucks.
I didn't even play it.
Yeah, it was a bummer, and then they announced Fable Legends, but don't get me wrong, I know people I don't know if it was considered a MOBA. It was kind of where you pick a role and you run around with friends online.
It was a Dungeon Master
exactly.
type of game.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. That did not intrigue me in the slightest. Don't get me wrong, I like the Fable world, but I'd rather just play an open world Fable game where I create my character and pave my story. Yeah.
I'm interested to see somebody else take the franchise and not be held down by Molyneux.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just his... I mean, he's fine and he's done
Fable 3... You can literally step into the game and become your character. You can sprout wings, leave the game, and you will literally be an angel. It's unbelievable the technology we have. That's Peter Molyneux. That's my impression.
That's what he said.
Now, he just is, he's known for making insane claims about the games he's developing, and then they come out and don't even slightly live up to their expectations.
My favorite is Fable 2. He just walked in front of me where he's like, I want to make the best RPG ever.
Yeah.
And then he's like showing the combat and he's just like spamming X.
Yeah. Which is funny because at the time I was like, that looks great.
Yeah.
But it was still fun.
I would like to see somebody else's interpretation of the Fable franchise.
I would love
that. They definitely
that.
Have something good there in terms of like the, like you said, the quirkiness to it. The just the world itself is just very kind of just this really dark humor, but it's also just very cheerful and stuff as well. So.
Right.
Yeah, I really like that universe.
Definitely. I don't know if you guys knew this, but another Microsoft company was Press Play Studios. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, they did Max and Brotherhood or something. Yeah. It was a platformer.
Max, Curse of the Brotherhood, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah. I played that game because there was nothing else to play at the time on Xbox One.
What'd you think?
It's like that game that you had like a marker and you could draw like vines and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they were working on a game called Project Knoxville, which I hadn't even heard of until I read about this. Yeah. But they were also shut down.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
They were not, I think they were recently, if I'm not mistaken, bought by Microsoft and kind of really didn't get anything out besides that Max game. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's really, it's got to be, that's the thing. Even though we weren't interested in Fable Legends, I got to imagine that sucks a lot for the developers. Not only one, it's like, crap, I'm losing my job. But the fact that you invest so much time and effort into developing a game. Like, I know we relatively roughly know what goes into developing a game, but we truly don't know because we've never actually physically worked on developing a game. But from what you hear from developers and, like, documentaries and stuff, and even the Last of Us documentary we watched put it into an even brighter perspective because it's just brutal work, crazy hours, and you, like, dedicate your soul essentially developing this game, and I can't imagine how awful it would feel to work so hard on a game, especially a game that you may or may not be proud of. For example, I don't know if the Assassin's Creed developers of all this time have been like, I was so proud to work on Unity, man. It was my life. It was my life's work, and it's just like a rehash of all the other ones.
Right.
But I gotta imagine people working on games that come out and they're like passionate about it and just everyone hates it like so much.
Yeah.
And the fact that their whole studio got shut down has got to be devastating. But there is light. Thanks to IGN, you've probably heard this as well. This is the light on the horizon, yes. On Monday, which is literally today, the day this podcast is airing, Sony will be hosting a recruitment event in Guildford, England, and has invited everyone at Lionhead Studios to come along. Wow. Lionhead Studios was co-founded and formerly led by Peter Molyneux, the man. It is well known for creating the Fable series. However, Microsoft also announced on Monday that work on the upcoming Fable Legends is now ceased, as we just rehashed. And Sony reached out to all the employees of Lionhead via the PlayStation Jobs Twitter account, saying that there will be people from all of its European game studios at the event available to chat. Which is funny, it's because Microsoft has been, ever since before the launch of Xbox One, has been kind of known as like the corporate villain for a while, and like they're still trying to recover, and then they shut down two of their studios, and Sony's like, welcome to the party, guys.
Come on over.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see hear more about how it goes.
It's really funny seeing some people comment on this saying like, oh man, now Sony's got Fable now and stuff. I'm like, that's not how that works. Man. That is not how that works, right? They don't own the rights to that.
Yeah.
But
that is cool, though. They're giving them opportunities to apply for new jobs and stuff, which is cool.
That is cool, for sure.
But Sony comes to save the day again.
Yeah. Well, but, I'm sure not everybody will be offered a job, but that's still nice that they're holding their arms out for that. Yes. So,
It's the thought that counts.
Exactly.
It's a kind gesture.
Absolutely. Moving onward.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little story.
Okay.
Remember when we played Rocket League back in the day?
Yes.
Preston beat both of us. I threw my PS4 controller at the wall. There's still a mark on it. I shattered the RB button out of frustration, and I lost.
Yeah.
You did.
But it was a lot of fun. I was like, man, no wonder people love this game. Because I could, if I, it's a shame because I wish, maybe we should try to force Evan and John and Elliot and all them to start playing Rocket League. I'm curious to see what their reactions would be to it. Cause I
think they'd like it.
Yeah, they've never played it, but we play I used to play a ton of FIFA with you guys, but they still play a ton of FIFA. And
not so much anymore.
Not so much. That's sad. It makes me sad.
It is sad.
Life's a changing, man. Mm-hmm. But we used to play a crap ton of FIFA, and Rocket League obviously is similar to FIFA, but you're driving a car and flying up in the air and shooting a giant ball into goals. Right. It's very exciting and just as competitive. So I'd be interested to see what their reaction would be. But this is even more exciting than perhaps, I mean, I know Zach's a big soccer fan now too as well. Excuse me, football. But they're bringing a basketball mode to the game, yeah, which previously they did a hockey mode for, I think it was the Stanley Cup season. They brought the hockey mode to it. But now they said they're trying to focus more on the aerial gameplay. You know, you can boost your car and shoot into the goal. Well, now they're adding a giant hoop and backboard where you can bank it in and stuff and get swishes and everything.
That's nuts.
Which sounds chaotic and awesome. Yeah. That's like the first time since we played Rocket League, where I was like, man, I kind of want to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look like you were about to say something.
Oh, I was going
to
say the sky's the limit.
Oh, yes, it is. Like the Lil Wayne song.
Yeah. But, I didn't want to interrupt you, though.
No, it's fine. But yeah, in addition to that, I mean, there's a couple of the other little things you guys may have seen. Is they added the Halo Warthog as a playable car and Ben Affleck's Batmobile from Batman v Superman, which is cool. But I got to imagine it's got to be cool. Like one guy playing as the Batmobile, another playing as the Warthog, playing basketball with cars. Yeah. Such a crazy idea that definitely paid off for those developers.
I definitely want to try that out when it comes out.
Totally. Yeah, me too.
We'll have to do a Let's Play.
Yeah, me too. All right, guys, we'll catch you later. So moving on to our main subject of the evening. This is something that is very relevant, I think, especially with the launch of The Division. It was perfect timing from our good friend Edgar Herrera for reaching out on Facebook, which everyone else can also do. This is the second time he suggested a title to us. Originally, it was for our backlog way back last summer. Wow. And we had a lot of fun with that podcast. And here he is again. Thank you very much for reaching out. We love it when you guys do this. And he supplied me with this topic. I'm going to read the title, and we'll just go from there. I mean, there's some articles that I paraphrased big time to kind of put our brains into perspective, if you'd like me to begin with that. But basically the title of the article was, "Are big, large, time-consuming games bad for video games?"
Okay.
As in, for example, The Division, Destiny, big games like this that developers spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on that basically have you doing the same thing over and over and over and over again in an attempt to keep you there as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And they keep releasing DLC in hopes that you'll just spend money and just milk the crap out of it until it just burns out and they just make a lot of money. And the argument is this where developers start to lose their creativity and their charisma for creating original, fun, interesting content where they just kind of churn out? Which, don't get me wrong, even the guy that wrote this article is like, don't get me wrong, I love Destiny. I think it's awesome. I thought it was fun. The Division I'm hooked on right now. He's like, but it's kind of a weird thing how these developers are just more like MOBAs are getting a lot more popular now. It's just like these games where they're just co-op where you just do the same thing over and over and over again. And DLC's released and they just try to keep you there and like hold you by the balls, if you will, just for as long as possible until you move on to the next one.
To be fair, I don't think MOBAs are the same thing over and over again.
No.
Every match you have different characters clashing, so.
Right.
Well, it's more of like a competitive, kind of like
right.
how Call of
Duty. It's all about competitive things, you know.
But
they do
saying.
Play on like the same maps all the time. So right. I get what you're saying.
But yeah, anything else to add to that before we weigh in?
Yeah, I'll read the first little chunk of this, and then it'll probably send us on the road to conversation. This is from TheVerge.com. Rich McCormick was the writer of this article. He said, "At a time when players have more choice than ever about the games they play, publishers are spending millions on games that aim to become your only game, something you'll stay invested in at the expense of everything else. While this approach has given us big and beautiful game worlds like The Division's New York," had to catch my breath there. Mm. Had an Ace Ventura moment. "It's also having a negative effect on the industry, forcing publishers to eschew riskier bets and pad out those games they do make with pointless busy work. And here's an example. Far Cry Primal, released last month, is stuffed full of collectibles, essentially pointless trinkets that exist primarily to keep people playing longer than they need to. This year's upcoming games continue the trend, with rebooted Hitman as a murder sandbox, and as developers plan to churn out new missions for your bald-headed assassin for the foreseeable future, hoping to keep players killing for months to come. No Man's Sky takes this to an extreme conclusion, promising a near-infinite universe of generated worlds that are yours to explore." So, these are like the initial thoughts of the article, and my initial thought in response to this was, I didn't even really think about it until I read this, because it's not really a bad thing, because the games make a lot of money. Ultimately, that's what publishers aim to do, is make a lot of money. I mean, that's just their job.
That's all there is to it, is to make money.
Right. But at the very least, although a lot of these games have a lot of extra busy stuff that, no, you don't have to do, but for, like, for example, for you, for example, trophy collectors, by all means, you're going to do it to get that platinum trophy, so why not have it in there? But me, for example, the reason why I don't usually pursue trophies, one, I said, I'm like, I like trophies. If there's, like, an easy trophy, I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go for that. But for the collectible stuff and everything, I never really put a lot of effort into it because I'm like, what am I really accomplishing other than getting my virtual trophy? Which is cool, because some people enjoy that, and that's awesome. But ultimately, I understood his point, but at least he admitted, like, these games are really fun, although they do keep you busy, and they aim to just, like, you know, he goes on later in the article saying, like, some people nowadays would be like, oh, do you play games? They'll be like, oh, I play Destiny, or I play Call of Duty, or I play Madden, but it seems like more and more few and far between, unless you're talking to the three of us or some of our viewers out there that play a lot of indie games and such, and not just, like, the annual franchises like Call of Duty and Madden and blah, blah, blah. It seems like more and more few and far between I meet individuals like in public or at church or at work where they'll just be like, oh yeah, I play a lot of Call of Duty, or like, so some people you'll talk to that play like Call of Duty Ghost still and haven't even moved on from that and everything. So it's interesting to hear.
Poor person.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear how some people just stick to one franchise and one franchise alone instead of branching out. And this guy said this trend is becoming more and more popular with games being developed to where they just want you to hang on as long as possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, it all comes down to money. They want you to stay hooked in on a game so they can make even more money from once you've paid for it. Right. For instance, Destiny. They don't want you returning that game. They want you to have a lot of bang for your buck, and they want to sell you DLC so you can keep coming back to that game, because that's just lining their pockets with money. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because in the end, yes, people make video games because they're passionate about it, and if people weren't passionate about it, making the games, then the games would suck, and ultimately the industry would crash. But behind all of that, for you to make these massive games that, you know, we love and stuff, it requires a lot of money, and these developers need to know they can make that money, which is why they use these pre-order incentives, so they can try and guarantee money there. Like, oh, put in, not necessarily in GameStop, where you just put $5 down, but like to pre-order on Amazon, you got to buy the entire thing to get like the beta and stuff. So that's where all these pre-order bonuses are coming for. That's what all these DLCs are coming for and stuff. It's to keep you from returning the game, because it's just like,
the longer they can keep you around, the longer they can keep taking money from you.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't, not in a bad way. I don't know, saying
like they want as much business as they can generate.
Yeah, and I mean, who can blame them? Because games take a lot of money to make, and games are cheaper than they've ever been. I mean, NES games and stuff were like $50-$60 back then, and like look how much the dollar's, you know, degraded since then, or increased in value and well, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
the dollar, inflation, all that crap. Yeah. But I think it's different too, because like I was telling you, this is the kind of game I want to play right now.
Right.
Like I want to turn my brain off and just go do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always going to be both types of games. There's always going to be a Destiny. There's always going to be World of Warcraft. People, you know, won't like these type of games. That's why they do well. These games wouldn't be doing well if people, you know, didn't want to play them. It's not like Division's the only thing out there, so people are just going to put hours upon hours doing the same thing over and over again because there's nothing else to play. There's tons of games out there. So I don't necessarily agree that that's bad for the industry, because that's what is popular right now. People like this. I'm sure that when they were making the Division and they saw how well Destiny did, that kind of reassured them that, like, you know what, this can work on console, so let's go for it.
Right.
And I'm sure there's going to be more games to come from that, and eventually it might die out in 10 years. People are like, can you believe we played Destiny and crap doing the same thing over and over again? Whatever. I don't think it will either. I think this is just going to evolve more and more and more, because people have always been fascinated with games like this, MMO-ish type of games. So I don't think it's bad for the industry if people like it, and there's always going to be developers making games, single-player centric games. There's always going to be the Naughty Dogs. There's always going to be the...
I thought about that.
So I don't necessarily agree with that point. I see where he's coming from and
stuff. Well, that's what's good about this article. What attracted me to is that he also did not say it's bad. He's also asking for the sake of the conversation we're having. He didn't once say, this is bad. He's just like, is it? Like, and that's why we're talking about it, which is good.
Yeah.
But I mean,
some people think it's bad. Some people crap on Destiny and The Division for they think there's lack of content. And there's an argument that there is lack of content. You essentially, and you can say this about any game, just you in the division, I think you even said it in our Let's Play, you go to this place and you just kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you loot it and you go on. Yeah. Same with Diablo.
The formula
Same
works.
Same with Destiny.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Yep.
I mean, it's essentially in Uncharted, you follow a narrative and you go to different places and you shoot stuff and climb obstacles and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can't say... You can say that about any game, but... I don't even know what I'm like rambling on about now, but it's I can understand why people that don't like Destiny and Division, because I can kind of see how that would get repetitive and stuff. But like I said, there's millions of people that play these games and they enjoy it and stuff. So sorry if I rambled on a little bit there.
You're good.
I had a good,
no, you made excellent
I had a
points.
Good points in my head. I don't know if I really expressed them correctly.
Well, I understood where you were coming from completely, but that's the thing. Also, like I was going to add to that is that all these games do. See, it does get you do get the feeling like, oh, they are milking us, but at the same time, we wouldn't play them if we weren't having fun.
Yeah, I'm not gonna buy. I hate the accusations of companies from taking your money. Nobody's. It's not like I buy
Destiny.
No
one forced us to buy the game.
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't buy Destiny, and they took my credit card number. And every time a DLC comes out, they're just swiping it from me. No, I enjoyed Destiny, so I bought the DLC and played it. They didn't steal from me. I thought Destiny had a reasonable amount of content for what I wanted to do. And if you don't like the game, then don't buy it. Like, it's just it's as simple as that. Vote with your wallet. If you don't like this practice in games, don't buy them.
Right.
I mean, it's. I don't know what else to say. There's no reason
it's
to...
It's the simplest solution.
There's no reason to argue about it.
There's different kinds of gamers. I mean, some people like this whole, you know, you go for a reward by doing work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that we do work in video games, if you think about it. Like, do all this repetition over and over again. And, like, I think it's kind of based on our economy, like our capitalistic economy. And, like, you know, we always work... In America, well, at least in America, we're always in a we're a capitalist nation,
right?
And, I mean, I don't know where you're going with this.
Hold
so
on.
Continue.
I'm hanging out. I'm hanging on.
This might be a little deep, okay. But we bring our work home into our video games, and we're doing labor in our video games, and we're getting rewarded for it, kind of like how we get rewarded by getting paid at work.
Well, capitalistic is just supply and demand, though.
Right.
I don't really see how that would relate into games.
Well, it's kind of linking like to the companies to our home.
Okay.
If you think
I get what he's saying. It's like we grind and grind and grind and grind because we want to get the cool stuff at the end. Like we work
I
every
say
day because we want to get paid.
I would say it's more materialistic wise. You see something you want and you want it, so you work for it and you get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And then you get it and you're like, well,
and then you're like, yep,
cool. I'm going to go to bed now.
Right. I guess that's how it is in real life too.
I'm trying to think the last time I played a game like an RPG or something where I unlocked an armor or weapon where I was like pumped about it for more than like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't.
I guess
think of
things
it.
That are random drops are better.
Yeah.
Like in Destiny when I had,
I remember the first time you dropped the Monte Carlo drop for you.
Yeah,
you freaked out.
I've never heard you scream like that.
Remember when
I
got Hawk Moon to drop?
I got Monte Carlo like the second week the game came out, so I was flipping my shit.
Yeah.
Then also when I had Galahorn drop for me, I like wet my pants too.
Yeah.
That's different because you're just like working and working and working, and that's almost like you're working a job and you're just like waiting for a raise and stuff. Then it just comes out of nowhere, so... I don't know. I kind of like RNG in terms of that, but then I hate RNG when you don't get what you want.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like long stretches of not getting a thing is very tiresome.
It is.
But man, it really, it just like builds up in you until you get something good.
Right.
But I kind of like RNG for that aspect, but I also like being able to just have a goal and work towards it, which is why I like these games, because there's a goal, like hit this level,
for
see
sure.
a weapon,
right.
go for it, get it.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like these type of games.
Yeah.
That's why I like, you know, Diablo.
Yep.
Division, Destiny, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I always just like my guy looking cool, for sure.
These have always been my favorite type of games, so
yeah.
Just loot-based games.
Totally.
Yeah, I like loot-based when I'm feeling it. Mm-hmm. Like
loot-based with cool customization.
Video. I'm really feeling it right now.
Yeah. One last thing to add to this is he made examples of games. Like I was wondering what your thoughts on this. He said games like Titanfall and Evolve had a lot of DLC plans as well, but those games essentially burnt out shortly after release. Do you think there's any particular reason why? Because, for example, Destiny lived on and thrived. It's because, obviously...
Is it content?
Yeah, the content. And is it safe to say it's as simple as, like, it was just more fun? Or
some
what do you think the reason behind that is?
Some formulas work better than others.
I just don't think, in terms of Evolve, it was just... I think it was kind of a turnoff to people in the sense of you have to have four people at all times with you, and it required, you know, a lot
like
of
heavy amounts of teamwork,
heavy amounts of teamwork, and a lot of strict learning curve. Whereas Destiny, yeah, it requires a lot of teamwork in the end game, but anybody can just jump in there and shoot stuff. And it's got say what you want about Destiny, but the gunplay is very solid. Very good.
You got your PvP that you can jump in by yourself.
And in the end, it's got way more content than Evolve did. Evolve was just a multiplayer-only shooter game, exactly like Titanfall, which, I mean, look at these $60 multiplayer-only games. They're not doing that well. I mean, Rainbow Six Siege, I think it's doing okay. Overwatch, I'm not sure how that's going to do.
It's going to do great.
Is it? Yeah. Is it multiplayer-only?
Yes.
The more and more I see from that, the more I'm interested.
It looks cool, but it's just like...
You guys just need to watch me play it. And you're gonna love it.
I'm getting it.
People have made their case that they want, like, kind of single player content. You know, and they're kind of are voting for their wallet there. Because I mean, yeah, Titanfall did very well, but what are they putting in it this time? Single player. That's the big thing. People were like,
high demand for a Battlefront 2 campaign.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Well.
Where's Battlefront's campaign? So I mean. I don't know. I think it's there. Because, I mean, Destiny's online only. Division's online only. But you can play it very much like a single-player game.
Right.
So I think those are kind of differences. And I don't know. Maybe Evolve just wasn't that good either. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't play it.
Me but, neither.
That wasn't the case with Titanfall. Titanfall was super fun.
Right.
It just there weren't a lot of weapons there at the beginning.
That was
a
its
maps.
Problem.
Yeah. It's
if
just,
you're not going to have a single-player, you got to have a very big, expansive multiplayer.
Yeah, exactly.
And it didn't.
Yeah.
There was like 8 maps, like 6 weapons or something. Yeah, it's pathetic.
They're learning. I'm sure Titanfall 2 is going to be great.
Oh yeah, I'm excited for sure. Speaking of Battlefront, before I forget, did you hear that John Boyega?
Yeah,
I saw that.
Sent that message or that straight up tweet.
I follow him on Twitter.
To DICE or EA or whatever, and he's like, "Can we expect a? Can the fans expect a campaign in the Battlefront 2?" They're like,
"Not at this time."
Yeah, did you play
the
missions?
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, they're great, but what about like a story driven campaign?" And they're like, "Can we arrange a meeting?"
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. But that is cool. It's funny, a podcast, it was actually Rebel Base and IGN, it was the funniest thing. They were like, do you think when they saw that tweet, they were like, all hands on deck? It's like, Finn's messaging us.
Probably.
Which is hilarious.
I'm sure like their little girl, or the girl like...
That manages their social media. I was just like,
oh, dang.
She like walks into her boss's office. She's like, sir, we have a situation. But I thought that was hilarious. Shit. But high hopes for that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's actually a good way to think of it. Is that you guys nailed it? Like, if you're completely lacking a single player, you do indeed have to have a massive multiplayer to keep people engaged for sure. That makes total sense.
And even Star Wars couldn't really say Battlefront for me because that just got old really fast, really fast.
I wish I had it on PC because all the mods I see are mostly graphical mods, and they're the coolest thing. Obviously, we've all seen the 4K realistic mod, but have you seen the new one that was released called like the 70 cinema mod?
No.
It's like watching through the lens of like...
I think they added that to console.
Did they?
I'm not even lying.
Really?
I think they did.
Is it like a filter you can turn on? Holy crap. Yep. I have to try that.
I'm pretty sure I read that.
It was like
a free
so cool looking.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to hear your guys' opinions on that. I wanted to get that in perspective for myself because I had the initial thoughts, but you guys hit the nail on the head, I think, perfectly. Yeah. And I definitely want to hear, Edgar, thank you for supplying the topic. I definitely want to hear your opinion on this as well. Please let us know your outlook is, I know I've said this 100 times, but he's always very wise when he talks about things. And like, it's like, it literally like makes me like discover something within myself whenever he comments. Like, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But and anyone else that has anything to say on that topic, we'd love to hear your opinions as well. Let's start a conversation down below because that's what this podcast, this channel is all about, is connecting and communicating with you guys. But moving on, while Destiny's on the mind, this is a heavy rumor that may or may not be true. It's pretty one of those wild rumors where you're like, I'm not so sure about that.
It's pretty heavy.
But this was news that you may have heard, but I think this kind of sounds cool. Destiny 2 is rumored to be titled Beyond Destiny.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's not gonna happen.
What do you think of that title?
I think that actually sounds
pretty cool.
I don't like it.
I think
it sounds okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just call it Destiny.
Was it going to be beyond the game? Like, what does that even mean?
People are going to still call it Destiny.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't like it, personally.
I kind of think it's cool.
I don't understand it.
It really sticks out to me. Not that they needed a flashy title, because regardless, Destiny 2 is going to sell very well.
Mm-hmm. I say you just call it, like, I don't even know what you would call it.
Destiny.
You can't call it Destiny 2.
A Realm Reborn. Something cliche like that.
The same as Final Fantasy.
I think Beyond Destiny is... really bold. That was the title. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
It may or may not confuse the casual gamer that played Destiny's like story mode and didn't even realize, like, I have to have Xbox Live for this, and they like freak out about it and come back to GameStop and yell at you. It happened to me multiple times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hang on, they came back and were like, I can't play this.
They're like, why can't I play the game? They're like, well, we told you when you bought it, you have Xbox Live, and they're like, what? They're like, it's online only. And they were like shocked by that. It's like the whole world was falling down.
I'm sure that happened with The Division as well. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Plus, one of the Bungie developers commented on this reveal, and he was like, what did he say? He was like, I'm beyond excited to hear this news or something. He was like, I hope you are too.
Hmm.
And he had like the number 2 in his tweet.
Oh. Wow. Playing with both possible titles.
Did you hear
there.
About the Call of Duty rumor being called Bloodlines?
Yeah, Call I heard of Duty that. Bloodlines? Mm-hmm. That sounds badass.
Yeah.
Is that for like the next Infinity Ward?
Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
Dude, I doubt it's true.
That sounds awesome.
You doubt it?
I guess
well,
not.
Well, the guy that leaked these apparently, I read some of his credentials, like of things he had leaked before, and he's been right on a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So, and he leaked that as well. The same guy that leaked that is the same guy with Bloodlines. He also leaked something else, but I forgot.
Didn't he leak this Destiny stuff? Or is that a different guy?
No.
Before
I read this giant article from the guy that leaked this, and he said Call of Duty Bloodlines and Beyond Destiny, and there was something else. I don't think it was as big as the Call of Duty one, though, because that's why I clicked on the article.
As far as like the name goes, I like it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Before I move on from this topic, by the way, I wanted to say one last part of that big rumor was that apparently Beyond Destiny, if that is indeed the title, is rumored to be coming to NX, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I read that.
Because I also, like I said earlier, I read NX rumored to suck big time. So I'm like, yeah. Well, that's weird.
I also this heard doesn't that make sense the to first me. Destiny is going to be ported to NX too.
Beginning of next year.
Yeah. Gosh.
None of that makes sense to me.
That would be interesting.
Like, none of the Destiny audience is on Nintendo, so...
And or they're going to jump on.
Right.
Like, yeah, dude, can't wait for
unless,
that
like,
NX.
Unless, like, Nintendo's NX is just, like, like an insane console that everyone wants to get. Mm-hmm. I doubt it's going to be
get
that.
It. I'm going to want
yeah,
to
Yeah, I want to get it, but it's yeah. not going to be,
I
want to
get Nintendo's last console ever.
Yeah.
Because yeah. yeah, I'm not going to leave my PS4 Destiny behind and go to the Nintendo, you right. know?
Yeah, start so. All the way over.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds awesome.
And if you haven't played Destiny by now, you're probably not going to
on their like
play
weird motion
in the future.
Weird controller they come out
on
with or
account.
Something.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
You are the controller.
Yeah.
You are
it's like
the Guardian
3.0 basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, great.
Anyways.
Yeah. Kind of piggybacking off of the big games, time consuming games a problem for gaming. In between that article was spliced in like games like Firewatch and Gone Home typically stick in people's minds more, at least from a narrative perspective, than obviously Division or Destiny, because their stories not and we won't even know for sure if the Division story's lacking as we skip all the cutscenes. But
yeah, I watched
Destiny
it.
For example didn't really get a solid story going until the Taken King, which is good, and I obviously they'll learn from that mistake. And Destiny 2, I'm sure we'll have a fantastic campaign, Lord willing.
Yeah, almost certain it will.
Yeah.
In addition to this, I thought it'd be cool. There's a massive list on nerdbudge.com that you guys can check out if you go to their website. It is literally the top 50 indie games coming out in 2016. We're going to talk about them all right now. Here we go.
coming sure. out in 2016?
Yes. All of them are. Well, they say to be announced 2016, but they don't all have official dates, so some of them could be pushed back. I don't know. But I went through this top 50, and it's a shame not the three of us were together because we could have narrowed down 5 together, but I narrowed down 5 that I'm most excited for out of the 50.
All right.
I have a plot synopsis and either a release date or a relatively some sort of time frame for each one that we can discuss. We can talk about, oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
I could have exploded the table. Speaking of the table, I tried to scrub all the wax off and it didn't work too well.
It's okay.
So I always have to be extra
than it
gentle.
Did.
Yeah. Doesn't smell good, but smells better than it used to.
Yeah.
We make a lot of Tim and Eric references on this channel.
Yeah. But shout out if you know who Tim and Eric is.
Yes.
The show.
Mm-hmm. First one on the list for the top 5 indie games of 2016. I guess I should call them Garrett's top 5 indie games of 2016 because these are the ones
yeah,
I
guess
chose.
So.
Yeah.
Ones that stuck. I watched every trailer and read every synopsis. So
wow.
That's why I wanted to be sure. But don't get me wrong. Now, these top 5... just because I chose them does not mean I think the other ones don't look good. Because I was like really impressed by a lot of them. I was like, this is kind of hard. Because I didn't want to do 10 because I didn't want to go on all night. But first one on the list is called Courier of the Crypts. and sorry, lost my place there. My, my iPad first generation keeps freaking out. The screen was once shattered by
the second one.
No, is it? I'm not sure.
It's the second one, because my mom had the first one.
Because it just says iPad on the back, and I was never sure.
Yeah, it's the second one.
Okay, well, this thing's still a piece. Ever since my buddy Logan threw a drink coaster onto it and shattered the screen, I had a bootleg guy replace the screen, and it freaks out all the time. Like, right now, it's just zooming in and out. It might be impossible to read this. Maybe if I hold it like this. Okay. This is weird. Courier of the Crypts. The Indiegogo-funded game Courier of the Crypts looks like an adventure well worth playing. It's a 2D pixelated game with a gorgeous design. The game places you in the role of a young courier on his first errand day, and you'll follow him through crypts filled with mysterious traps as you attempt to deliver a letter to the crypt guardians. Lucky for you, you'll be bringing along your handy-dandy magic torch buddy to help illuminate the dark paths ahead. What's even more commendable is the fact that this is a one-man development team, which I thought was most intriguing by this. A man by the name of... all these crazy names that I can't pronounce. I shouldn't call him crazy. I'm a stupid American. I can't pronounce foreign names. Primoz Volk. Sounds way cooler than my name. This game is available through Steam via Early Access on PC. Currently, right now, you can get it. We recommend you go there and support this man's hard work. And I wish you could see the trailer for it, because the gameplay looks really, really cool. But as you said, it's like the 2D pixelated adventure with your illuminated torch going through these crypts. And it just looked really interesting. And the fact that one man developed it is super impressive to me. And that alone is what stood out to me.
That's intriguing.
Which is cool. But I don't know if you guys any additional thoughts to that. I mean, I guess if you'd seen the gameplay, there'd be more to talk
about.
Sounds
cool.
All we have here is your opinion and our little synopsis here.
Right. Number two, Perception. It's coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Also to be announced sometime this
year. I've heard of this one. You're blind, right? Or deaf?
Yes, this is from a veteran development team that includes developers of BioShock and BioShock Infinite, and Dead Space comes Perception, a first-person narrative game. Your character sees... Man, my iPad's freaking out. Your character sees... Oh, my goodness. This is a disaster. I might just have to say enough with the iPad tonight. Look at this. Hold on. It's just spazzing out completely.
There, just leave it like that.
See, it'll go back and forth, see?
What the heck?
I know. It's terrible. I may not be able to read about all these. Okay, I think I got it for now. There aren't many horror adventure games on a list of upcoming indie games in 2016, so hopefully Perception can fill the void this year. The first few trailers we've seen so far look absolutely fantastic, and the game's unique visual style will certainly keep us on the edge of our seats. Did you guys see the IGN first, the gameplay of Perception?
I did.
It looked very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see it.
The fact that you're blind, it reminded me a lot of Daredevil from Ben Affleck's Daredevil, where like he sees through the vibrations.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It had a lot of a look like that. But
that could be a good horror game on that concept.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, a lot of people are like, it looks like another walking simulator, because in the trailer, the whole time you're waiting for something spooky to happen and nothing really. I mean, there's definitely some creepy vibes, but nothing ever really seemed too scary about it.
Aren't
but
those the best kind of horror games, though, where you feel helpless? You can't do anything?
Helpless and suspense is good. That's what was so scary the first time I played Outlast, because you have no weapon to defend yourself. You just have to run and hide, which is terrifying. Yeah. But number three is called Grip. Now, I'm not usually attracted to racing games, but this looks pretty gnarly, if you ask me. Also available on Early Access, and it's coming soon to PS4 sometime this year. If you love high-octane racing games like we do, then you're going to want to pay attention to Grip. It's inspired by the Roll Cage games from 1999 and 2000, bringing hardcore combat racing to the new generation of gamers. Each race takes place on an exotic planet with a wide variety of planets available, ranging from icy planets to alien megacities. Race from a variety of different armored cars, and you'll be able to upgrade each one. Sorry, I'm having to pick up my thumb slowly. Now the whole screen's white. I'll just list the other ones after this. I won't read their synopsis, but it says basically it's like Mario Kart for grown-ups, because it had like a Twisted Metal vibe, but it was way more fast-paced, and then like the gameplay was nuts, just going through these giant tunnels going like 1,000 miles an hour and cars exploding, shooting weapons and everything. And like normally I'm not attracted to racing games, but this one looked pretty gnarly, especially for an indie game, which I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But number four, I won't even read the synopsis because most people have heard of it, Tacoma from the creators of Gone Home, one that takes place in space.
Yeah,
for zero gravity. Looks interesting for sure, especially the gameplay I've seen. I'm intrigued by. And I believe a couple of our friends that keep up with this podcast have also listed Tacoma as a good one to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
So
your iPad, man.
I know. It's crazy. It randomly will do this sometimes. I don't even know if I can change pages. There it is. Lastly, although we have talked about this before, I think we talked about it on Nerd Much's top 24 games of 2016. Cuphead looks amazing. I won't read the whole thing, but obviously it just looks awesome. And it says it's also very heavily centered on bosses as well. So apparently there's some really epic boss battles in the game. So I'm so pumped to see and hear more about that. It says just to be announced 2016. There's still no official release date, but Cuphead's exciting.
Yep.
But overall, that was the bulk of the gaming news I could scrounge together today. Unfortunately, I was doing it at the last minute. If there's anything released this week, obviously we'll cover it next week. But Gears 4 is a recap. Lionhead Shutdown. The big game discussion we had. Thank you, Edgar Herrera.
Yep.
And top five indie games of the year to look out for, which is exciting. My point being in listing those is it's fun because all these AAA titles come out, kind of referring back to the big games thing, where obviously we're mostly focused on the big AAA titles, as most gamers are, but in between all these big AAA games are these little gems that come out of all these indie developers that are, for the most part, great. And Firewatch, I know we had it had its flaws, but for the most part, that story-wise, that game still sticks in my mind. I'll randomly think about it because it's still on my, I don't know if you call it the PlayStation's dashboard or whatever it is, where it has like your list of games. Like every time I pass Firewatch, I'm like, that was a good game. I like that.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it too.
The indie games are just the gems that are releasing in between these, AAA titles, and they're more relevant than ever. So I genuinely, like a year ago, like I was like, I don't really care about indie games. Not that I was against them, I was just like, had no interest. But ever since I started playing stuff like Firewatch and Gone Home, and then you see games coming out like No Man's Sky and stuff, is just insane. So I would say indie games are more relevant than ever, which is exciting.
Indie games can be just as good as a AAA game. Just has to be something new and original, I guess.
Right. And obviously, another point to just refer back to that article we read about the big games is that obviously when you're not a AAA studio with this massive publisher and everything, you have more room to be creative, which is cool, and you can get away with taking bigger risks. So that's also one of the perks of being an indie developer, I think, in today's age, which is great. So gaming news, man, that pretty much sums it up. If you guys are up for it, we can move on to some movie news that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Okay.
My brief review real quick. This is no spoilers. This is just my initial thoughts. Definitely lived up to the hype for sure. Me and Casey both, my girlfriend, were super pumped for this. I was never a massive fan of the first one. Did you and I see the first one together, or was it someone else?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I remember seeing the first one in the theater.
No, I went with my uncle to see the first one. I remember I had to pee at one part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always find that hilarious when people pee in a movie that's like, it's like 10 minutes in and they're like, excuse me. It's like, we went to see 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is supposed to be, it's like this whole movie has been like a big mystery to everyone. That's why I feel like the hype has been so big for it, because everyone's kind of like, what is this? Is it a sequel? Is it not a sequel? What's the story like? Is it take place in this bunker? What's happening? So obviously there's a lot of mystery surrounding it. 10 minutes into the movie, this guy gets up. He's like, excuse me, leaves for like 10 minutes, comes back like after 15 minutes. Who knows what he was doing? It's like, why even come to the movie? But the funny story I wanted to tell before I give my my review of the movie was we went to Movies for 100 to see this. You guys are aware of Movies for 100. Movies for 100 is our local theater where we live here in Georgia. And it's a cozy little theater. It's homey. It's classic in the sense that it's the oldest theater in the city. But normally we prefer to go to like an AMC, always usually AMC, but there's also the Regal, which is pretty nice. But Movies 400, man, it's kind of a dump. And every time we go in there, there's just something small that we regret, where we like, we should have just paid the extra $3 or $4 to go to AMC. Because we sit down in Cloverfield, in a tiny little theater, there was probably 15 people eating popcorn. And I guess all of these people were raised to not chew with their mouth closed. Because I'm telling you, dude, it sounded like a petting zoo in there. It was just like, but not all... like all at the same time, where it's just one massive crunch. It's like just crunches at different times constantly, for like the first 15 minutes of the movie, until like music started building up and stuff. It's just all you heard. It was like that that video that I get my Instagram picture from, where it's like the people chewing on their popcorn and messing with bags and stuff. Just that look on my face, like my head's about to explode. We almost left. It was that bad.
Really?
I've never heard so much loud chomping in my life. And usually I can just block it out. I'm like, whatever. Like, I can deal with it. But it was so bad. Thankfully, we sat through the movie and made it through. And about 20 minutes into the movie, totally were so invested that even if people were chomping, I didn't notice, because it was just very engaging. The acting was phenomenal. John Goodman, Mary Elizabeth Winston, I believe is her name, was phenomenal. The other guy's name, I feel bad because no one ever remembers his name. I don't remember his name, but he killed it as well. And I'm always impressed by casts where are movies that have a very small cast and it takes place in a very secluded place. It takes a lot of acting, heavy acting, to really convince you that these people are going through what they're going through. And they all nailed it, in my opinion. And the tension was high. The mystery was high. And like literally 99% of the movie, you're like, what's actually happening? And it's just like it bounces back and forth between what's happening and what may or may not be happening. It truly does. Like, I know it sounds so cliche, but it truly does keep you on the edge of your seat the entire time. And the ending is just so nuts. And I don't mean that in the sense it's like, whoa, it's insane. It's just like, wow, I was not expecting that at all. And it was very bold for the writer of this movie to go in that direction, which is cool. And overall, it was very satisfying. Like I said, the acting was great. The story was awesome. Very engaging. Had an awesome ending. And I will probably definitely go see it again at least once more in the theater, which is cool.
Yeah, I want to go see it.
Yeah, it was great.
I want to see it.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. That's my brief review of the movie. For those of you that may or may not have been interested, if you are and haven't seen it, I highly suggest it. If my opinion even means anything to anyone, I suggest it because I loved it. So, but yeah, that's my fun little review of Cloverfield.
Excellent.
Very nice.
I look forward to it.
I do too.
I want to hear your thoughts on the Civil War trailer, boys.
I thought it was awesome.
Spider-Man.
I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and I think they did him good for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I really like the way they are going about animating his eyes and allowing it to fit in that universe.
Totally.
So, yeah, I definitely gives it a thumbs up.
Definitely.
Right behind Spider-Man as being my favorite part, I liked seeing Black Panther in action.
Dude, yeah. he looks so awesome. He looks so cool.
Taking helicopter bullets like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
That and taking out Sebastian Stan's, I guess I should call him Bucky. That's his name in the movie.
Bucky.
But
yeah.
Taking out his motorcycle at like full speed. It's awesome. That one shot where Ant-Man is on Hawkman. What's his
Hawkeye.
Name? Okay, I got Hawkman from Legends of Tomorrow. Sorry. But Hawkeye, where he shoots the arrow and Ant-Man's on the tip of it and jumps off and runs up Iron Man's arm. I'm like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. But that was really cool. But obviously, Spider-Man was the big reveal. It's funny because I follow Tom Holland on Instagram, and for well over a year, obviously, he's been announced as being Spider-Man now. And constantly, no matter if he posts a picture at a restaurant or if he posts a picture of him riding a bike or messing around with his little brother in his front yard, just constantly everyone's like, it's Spider-Man. It's like all he gets for a year. He just had to sit dormant, and finally I was scrolling Instagram last week, the day the movie trailer was released, and all of a sudden I see a picture of this Spider-Man I don't recognize with Captain America's shield on top of this like airport buggy or something, and I was like, what the heck is this? and it's funny because a lot of people have been picking apart the trailer and be like, it looks too CGI. I think Spider-Man might be completely CGI in the scene, even if he is. That's why me and Preston, when we first saw it, were like, this looks like it could be fake. We don't know if this is real. And then I kept reading, and it was like, new trailer release. We're like, dude. So we just like dropped what we were doing. We had no service where we were like in the middle of nowhere in Maryland. So we were like running around like lunatics trying to find service, like going to different windows. And finally, we just leave the building and go out to our rental car and just sit in there and watch it together. We're like the whole time we're like really pumped about the trailer. And it's funny because everyone's focused on Spider-Man, but overall, the movie looks incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
That reveal, dude, when he grabs Iron Man's shield and you finally see Spider-Man land among all the Avengers that everyone's been waiting for. And one, obviously, as everyone knows, he has that classic look to him, which is a bit of flair added to make it slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And he has those lenses on his eyes that change, which it's funny because a ton of fans just, I don't know if they were the first ones to say this, but pretty much it were guys we used to keep up with for a while on their podcast that we enjoyed. And they always said like, oh, it'd be cool if they animated Spider-Man's eyes. And everyone always thought, like, I'm open to that. But like we've said, for the most part, Spider-Man's movies and the Marvel movies, like Avengers and Captain America and Plus, are very grounded in a way. Not entirely, because there's magic and ridiculous stuff that happens, but
not ridiculous enough for eyes to be moving.
Right. Kinda like kind of cartoony.
Like Deadpool-y. Right?
Exactly.
But that makes sense in Deadpool.
They still have this realistic feel to them.
Yeah, exactly. They did it great. They're like mechanical, and as we know, if you guys have read that, Spider-Man starts off with like his homemade costume in the movie, and Iron Man develops a new one, and it's safe to assume that this is the one Iron Man developed for him, because Iron Man calls him a...
Underoos,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Which obviously is a sign that they've been in talks at some point during this movie before this event in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
But that's cool. It's very creative too, in the sense that not only was it a good idea to make the eyes mechanically animated, but the fact that they're almost like camera lenses is just very reminiscent of Peter Parker's alternate identity. So it looks awesome. I think he looks super cool. I'm pumped. We've been waiting for this moment for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah. The reason I was so excited when I texted you is because I had no idea he was in the trailer. I was just watching the trailer.
That's what I
wanted. And I was like, oh my God, Spider-Man's in this.
I went into it waiting for Spider-Man. I would have much preferred to have seen it that way, because I probably would have just passed out.
I almost didn't watch after the main title came on at the end. So I'm glad I stuck
around.
Yeah,
we were at dinner the other night, and I was telling my dad, was sitting across from me, and the trailer was on TV. I was like, oh, here's that trailer I was telling you about. And he looked at it, and then the minute it said Civil War, he like looked down and started eating again. And then Spider-Man flew on the screen. I was like, and I looked back, and he's just eating. I was like, no. I was like, you had to keep watching.
Yeah.
So,
Our legs are touching under the table.
That's nice.
My legs are tired.
Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know what that means.
What, did you do legs today or something?
No, I just didn't get much sleep.
Oh.
I can't feel my legs.
That's
my
weird.
My left leg aches when I sleep for some reason this past 2 weeks. Ladies and gentlemen,
there's a couple more things.
It's over.
It's very, actually, this is the last story.
Okay.
Well, one of them's quicker than the other. Actually, they're both very quick. What do you think of Daisy Ridley possibly being Lara Croft?
I like it.
I think it's awesome.
I think the new reboot of Tomb Raider shall fit that well.
Yeah. The only argument I've heard is that people are like, do you think she should do another big, I mean, obviously nothing will ever be as big as Star Wars. People are like, do you think it'd be smart for her to do another major franchise immediately after Star Wars, or it might even be in between Star Wars? They were making the example how Jennifer Lawrence is both in Hunger Games and she was in X-Men, and it's kind of like, I don't even know what point they were making, but like, do you think it's even necessary? And I'm like, I don't think it matters if she's like as famous as she is and she looks the part and can definitely play the part, especially with the younger Lara Croft we've had in the video games recently. I'm totally open to it.
Yeah.
I think it sounds awesome. But lastly, there's one thing that I thought was super exciting was that the Star Wars Blu-ray is going to include footage of the very first table read they ever had. You know that black and white image they released before production actually began in the movie? For some reason, that image to me is just like the coolest thing ever, because all these people are coming into this mega franchise that has such a legacy, and they're all a part of the next story that's being told.
They know nothing about it yet.
Right. I can't even imagine how incredibly exciting and thrilling that was, and the fact that you can watch all of them read the script together for the first time is like so awesome to me that that's going to be on the Blu-ray. And that's like, if I had to choose one thing for like out of all the special features it's going to have, that would be it right there. Like, I want to see that.
But, see, I want to see deleted scenes.
Me too. I'm open to that as well.
Actually, I want to see like interviews from like Abrams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just like documentary kind of stuff.
Right. But I thought that was super cool. They're adding that because, like, I mean, obviously, I mean, other movies, sure, you can do that. But for Star Wars, just for some reason, it's so much cooler.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I'm super pumped about that. But overall, man, that's all the news I scrounged up for this week. And it was just an absolute pleasure talking to you both about it.
Absolutely.
And all of our friends that joined us on this this episode.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sticking around to the end.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I meant to say this at the beginning. It has to do with iTunes. We're obviously, if you're listening to this podcast,
obviously,
if you're listening to it in the future, great, it's on iTunes. But as of right now, in this very moment of March 2016, we're currently not on iTunes because there's a bit of a complication uploading. Our video, our podcasts are so long that like it can't, the server we were going to use just can't handle it. So now we have to find another solution. So I'm hoping we get to the bottom of that soon, because I'd love to have it more accessible to our friends out there that keep up with us. But
yes,
it was great regardless.
Yep.
Yep. I had fun.
Absolutely. Had fun. Me too.
Well, that was episode 42 of the It's So Obvious podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss games and other subjects.
Absolutely.
If you liked that, please give us a like and subscribe down below. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Give us a follow and or like on those social platforms as well.
Certainly.
Please.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
As
Thank
always,
you.
My friend.
Absolutely. Check out our other videos this week. And that's it.
You seem tired, and you have a
I'm
long
very
night
tired.
Ahead of you still.
Yeah, and I'm just, I got a lot of stuff to do. So
it'll be okay.
Like,
you'll
within
make
the
it.
Past 15 minutes, I've, like, completely died on the
I
inside.
Could tell. It's okay. But
sorry.
Thank you very much for sacrificing your night to be here tonight.
Absolutely.
It was an honor and a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
See y'all next week.
Have a good one.
Bye.